I'm Emily Foster.
And I'm Deanna Raphael.
And we're too damn young
to be this damn confused. I thought TBT stood for Turn Back Time.
I thought Zendaya was a new fad diet.
Is it pronounced meme or mem?
We don't know.
But we do care.
So we are talking to youths to hip us up to what's happening.
OMFG is a shot of pop culture Botox that will, fingers crossed, keep us young and fresh.
And super of the now.
We're doing this for us.
But we're also doing this for you, because let's face it,
you're probably pretty clueless.
Hello.
Feels good to be back.
Good. I'm glad. I'm glad you're here.
I like being here. So today, we have an exciting show. Mm-hmm. I'm really looking forward to it. We have Jeffrey Mark Klein and A.B. Farrelly coming on.
Okay.
They're both comics. And Jeffrey, since 2008, has an annual show called National Coming Out Day.
Great.
Show. And it's part comedy, part storytelling, and people just come and tell their stories of coming out.
Great.
Which led me to the question, were you in high school, did anyone come out?
There were loads of people out in my high school.
Really?
Yes.
Tell me more.
You know, I went to a very small high school, and there were 50 kids in my graduating class, and
that is small.
It was a private school. It was artsy. It was for kids who were feeling themselves. And
okay,
there were just lots of parties with girls making out with girls and boys making out with boys, and
wow.
it was a very free-spirited community.
I love that for you.
Yeah, thank you.
I don't recall anyone coming out in high school.
Do you remember people being gay?
Well, I remember the question of, like, is so-and-so gay? But did I know that anyone was gay?
You didn't know, like, for sure, even if they were out or not.
Mm-mm. Mm. So I'm curious to see, and Jeffrey's been doing it for a while, 2008, you know, was some time ago now.
And correct me if I'm wrong, he is old. He's an old.
He's a grown.
Okay.
AB is a youth.
Oh, thank God.
AB, I believe, is gender fluid, but we'll double check.
Okay.
And AB prefers the pronouns they and them.
We're going to try our best.
Do our goddamn best to not fuck it up. And Jeffrey also, believe it or not, is working with our guest Christian Humes, who gave us Tinder and Pokemon, and is doing a really interesting-sounding podcast, Weddings Hate Women. And it's all about different wedding traditions and how they sort of are not so great maybe for women.
Amen.
But I loved everything.
Amen.
Is there anything that happened during your wedding that you wish?
No, I mean, the only thing that really just I felt oppressed by was that every bit of every question falls to the bride. Like, even it made me crazy because I was like, there are two people here who should be fielding these questions, and yet no questions are being tossed to the groom. None. Zero.
Right.
All of them are coming to the bride. And why? Because it's just like this, you know, you just assume that she's going to take care of it, that she has the opinion because this is her day. Like, I gave two shits. I thought it was horrible.
I like that. Mm. Let's talk to him about it.
Okay.
Okay, bring him in. OMFG! Okay, well, it's happening.
Oh, my gosh. Welcome, Jeffrey. Welcome, AB.
Thank you very much for having us.
Yeah, excited.
Emily started perspiring when you walked through the door.
Like a lot. And I'm, you know, I'm not a sweater, but not this much of a sweater. So.
Okay.
It's notable today.
It's not noticeable.
Well,
if
thank
that,
you. It's early.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll see how we do.
Okay.
This has happened in the future, unfortunately, because of when we're recording it. But you are listening to it on National Coming Out Day.
Okay.
We have that for the love of God.
Great.
So do with that as you may.
Okay. For sure.
The show hasn't happened yet.
Yes.
So let's live in that truth.
Okay. So in our moment presently, the show has not happened yet.
But it will happen on Friday.
Yes.
So For anyone who cannot hear us right now, please go to the show.
Yes, please, please go.
Okay.
Yes.
So tell us how this show came to be and all that fun stuff.
Sure. This show came to be in 2008. I lived in Michigan, and yeah.
That's where I'm from.
Where in Michigan?
I grew up just outside Detroit.
Oh, I grew up just outside Ann Arbor.
Wow.
Mm, that's so exciting.
Go on.
Okay. Excellent. So, yeah, in Michigan, and there were no real, venues for gay people to tell their coming out stories that I knew of in Michigan at the time. And so being gay, I decided to, since I had been doing comedy for almost a year at this time, to put together a show that was just for gay comics for us to tell our coming out stories. And in Michigan there are, at the time, I mean, I know this was only 8 years ago, but there were a lot of people who didn't understand homosexuality, didn't think they knew any gay people. And so I was happy to be bringing this information to the people.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And how was it received back in 2008 in Michigan?
Very well, which is, I'm very happy about. It was people were really excited. People felt informed. They felt I feel like I give off a non-threatening presence, and so I think I was a comfortable introduction to homosexuality for a lot of Michiganders.
I mean, you might have made them sweat.
Potentially, yeah.
He's known for that.
But, yeah. Yes, I've learned recently I can make that happen. But yeah, people were very excited about it. People were nice. And yeah, a lot of people would tell me things like, I had a woman tell me that she was more comfortable talking to her daughter about being gay after my show, which was really cool.
Oh my gosh. That's when you know you've done the Lord's work.
Exactly. Bringing families together. It's a family show, really. But it's not. Just to, if you're going to bring kids to it, don't.
Don't.
We say
don't.
That hurts a lot. Yeah.
Terrible idea.
Yes.
And AB, how did you come to find out about Jeffrey's show?
Jeffrey actually reached out to me after I did a show at the Copper Still, the same place that this show is going to be at. I had worked with a couple of his friends, and I did a show that they run called All My Single Friends. So he kind of saw me perform.
We know it well.
Yeah. Okay.
Emily's going to say their names.
Oh, Dahlia Karnofsky and Avra Friedman were on this podcast.
They were?
Yeah. So they have sat in the hot seat where you are sitting.
I feel honored.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. I love those girls. They're great.
So wonderful.
Yeah. The best.
I've performed with both of them. I've had them on my shows, and they're just amazing. So much fun.
Yeah.
They're great.
Are you guys down to give us a little taste of what your coming out stories are?
Yeah.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Do you want to go first?
I guess I'll go first, but to be honest, I don't really have much of a coming out story. I actually say in my stand-up a lot that I'm so gay that I never had to come out, which is like a very true thing. Like there was never a point where I could really trick anybody. Like it was kind of known.
And where are you from?
I'm from outside of Boston, Massachusetts. I'm from the South Shore. And similar to what you were saying, the town I grew up in, you know, I was the only gay person that I knew there. Mm. I always say that I'm famous in Boston because I'm known as the only lesbian there. there's just not a lot, you know. I mean, it was the first state to pass, you know, with marriage equality, but there's not a lot of lesbian representation there. So it was definitely interesting. But I think for me, my main thing is everyone kind of always knew I was gay, but I kind of, you know, I also identify as, even though I call myself a lesbian, I identify as genderqueer, which means I'm a little bit of both genders. I identify as both male and female. I kind of just identify as a person, you know. So I think that kind of was a more – I'm still in the process of coming out of that. Like I'm still constantly telling people, like, that's not something you can just be like – sit people down and be like, this is what it is, because that's kind of a harder concept for people to grasp. So I would say that most of my material for the show that we're going to do is going to come from that and what that whole process is like and what it's like to be called sir or be, you know, have my gender misrepresented constantly.
Well, that's a great question. What are your preferred pronouns?
My preferred pronouns are they, them, there, actually. Yeah. So thank you for asking. Yeah. But I'm still trying to get my friends and everyone to transition into doing that. And it's hard. I mean, I hate they, them, there. It's plural. It's annoying. It sounds like multiple people went to the store instead of I went to the store, you know, like they went to go get some whatever. But there's not a lot of, like, what other term can you use, you know? What else is there?
We do have one other term. Bill said he would prefer being called a Hume. Like short for human, just like a Hume.
But like, what if, okay, first of all, I really like that. That's amazing. I love that, Hume.
That's fun,
but
yeah.
It's really fun, and I love that. And I need to meet this person because that's amazing. But what if you know, if someone says, oh, where's AB? Like, oh, you know, would you say right. She went to the bathroom? Oh, Hume went to the bathroom? Like that, is that what they're saying?
I think he hasn't, like.
And there was no conjugation variations right. for it.
Yeah.
Hugh. But we liked it.
Hugh.
I like it. I really like it. I mean, some people also say Z, I think. That's another one. I don't like that. I'm already the first two letters of the alphabet. Like, I can't. I can't be adding more letters.
That's funny.
Amazing. So that's part. That's yours. Your journey has been, like, kind of moving into how to communicate.
Yeah.
And how's it been going?
I mean, it's a hard process, you know. It really is. Like, it was very, again, it was very easy for me to be like, I'm gay. Like, I knew that since I was young, since when most people realize they, you know, are straight when they like boys or like girls, like in elementary school. That was the same for me always, and I never hid it. But it was very hard being someone in a small town where everyone is very similar mm-hmm. to all of a sudden be dressing like the opposite gender. Like, I dress like a boy. I smell like a boy. Everything to me is like a guy mindset. But I'm not trans. Like, I'm not transitioning. I don't feel like I'm fully a guy. So right. It was kind of a complicated process for myself to even understand at such a young age. And so I feel like I'm just – it's taking a while for me to come out and talk to people how I'm feeling. But I feel like I'm learning with them. You know, I feel like we're both growing at the same time.
Did you have, like, allies in your community, or did you feel like it was constantly, like, you against –
I wouldn't say I had many allies. I had my family. I have a very, very supportive family, which is amazing, and not all LGBT people have that, so I'm very blessed for it. And I had some really great friends. Like, I did theater. A lot of the theater mm-hmm. kids were cool, but I wouldn't say I was very accepted in most of the town at all.
Wow. How did you deal with that?
I just did. I mean, with comedy, I guess. I started kind of making jokes and doing this and that, and I feel like that's what most – comedians do is when stuff gets hard and you're like, well, how do I process it? It's like, well, you make a joke out of it. And you know, if you're someone that's joking and laughing all the time, that's somebody people want to be with. They don't care if you're a dinosaur, you know, they don't care what you identify as, like, as long as you come off as like a good person.
Sounds like you were able to really kind of muscle through that and be yourself. I mean, there's other people who would have try to figure out a way to hide it, especially if you're feeling like you're the only person in your whole town who feels differently than what you're seeing around you.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it was the family support or just who you are that was like, I'm going to be me no matter what.
I honestly think that it was so strong for me that it was similar to the gay thing for me. Like, it was something that I just couldn't possibly hide. Like, I watch these shows like, you know, Empire, Transparent this season has a clip about it where they show like gay people or trans people younger kind of cross-dressing and their family's reactions to it. And I'm like, oh, that's so brutal. I'm like, but that wouldn't stop me. I would continue to do that. I would just, like, if I didn't have a supportive family, I would just let them not be supportive and continue to do that. Because I'm just, I am not capable of dressing like a girl. Like, I could never put on a dress and makeup. Like, I would be sobbing. I wouldn't be able to go out in public. It would feel like a guy you're forcing to put on, like, a dress, you know?
Right.
So I think for me, it just became a point where I got older that I was like, all right, well, now I felt so pressured by society to put a label on it. Like, am I a guy? Am I a girl? Am I trans? Like, I need to put a label on this. And because that's what we do in our mm-hmm. society. It's cut and dry. It's black or white, you know? And so finally, when I went to this very cool school, the University of Redlands, and the very progressive liberal arts school, and I learned that there are people there that were like me. Like, you don't have to be one or the other. You can just be a person. You can just, you know, you don't have to love a boy or a girl. You can just love who your soul chooses to love. You can just feel how you choose to feel, you know?
Right.
So
that's nice. So you left the town, you found yourself in like a good community.
Yeah.
And after that, you were like, I'm not going back to that town.
There's no going back. Yeah. when I visit there, they're always like, oh my gosh. And they'll go like, hi, Anna. And I'm like, no, I'm not Anna. I'm AB, you know, like I'm AB now. I got to get people to like do it and stuff, you know.
Wow.
But I mean, it's cool, you know, it's all right.
Yeah. You have to raise the torch and have everybody follow.
Someone's got to do it, you know.
Someone's got to do it. And how about you, Jeffrey? What was your – or one of your coming out stories?
Oh, yeah. So As obvious of a homosexual as I am, I
wait,
still,
what?
Sorry, if you can't tell by the accent, I'm super gay. Just growing up in Michigan, people weren't believing it, I guess. Like, people didn't assume I was gay. I feel like kids probably did, but like, nobody assumed I was gay. They just assumed it was, I had like an effeminate voice, but that was it. Mm. And I mean, I grew up with people who thought Charles Nelson Reilly was straight. So there's that. That's an old guy reference. but so my favorite is when I was in elementary school on the playground, a really good friend of mine, her name's Crystal, we're still really good friends. She asked me to marry her, which is adorable. We were eight. It was so sweet. And I thought that if someone proposed to you, you have to say yes. And so,
which is true.
Yeah. So I said yes. I said yes. And then I asked if this boy in our class, Brian, could also marry us because I was in love with him.
Oh my God. Wow. Yeah. That's so cute.
And so then Crystal says, well, if you want to marry a boy, that means you're gay. And then our friend Rachel, just without missing a beat, says, oh, my dad thinks you're gay.
Oh, that's so funny.
Oh, did you feel like a flush of heat or was it a relief or what happened?
So then I was like, what? I don't understand. Like, what do you mean your dad thinks I'm gay? And then she said, my dad thinks you're gay. And just like my mom's hairdresser is gay, you're going to be a hairdresser also.
Oh my goodness. So much information.
So then the entire argument was I didn't want to be a hairdresser. Right. And so that was the whole thing. It was me telling Crystal and Rachel, I don't want to be a hairdresser, not that I'm not gay.
Right.
That was the whole conversation.
And this was eighth grade? You said?
We were eight years old. This was third grade.
So, okay. So you knew what being gay was.
Crystal knew. I didn't really know what being gay was until she told me. So Crystal gave me the label of I'm a homosexual.
Got
it. I was just like, I'm a boy and I want to marry this boy who's super cute and has freckles.
But yeah, that seems pretty advanced for eight. Like, did she have older siblings? What was happening there?
Crystal's just like worlds ahead of me in terms of like liberal intellect still to this day. She's a person who like I can text her and be like, I don't understand what this means. And she's like, well, here's seven different Tumblr pages all about it. And I'm like, okay, there we go.
I'm kind of sad you didn't lock it down and marry her. I'm just going to say it. I mean, I'm feeling sadness for that.
Well, the only way I would marry her is if I could also marry Brian.
And it sounded like she was open to that.
She would have been.
So that's nice.
I feel like to this day she still would, but Brian has a wife and won't accept my friend request on Facebook.
Yeah, that's Brian.
Okay.
Classic Brian.
Just going to let it hang out there in the ether, Brian. Fine.
Yep. So then when I got home from school that day, I told my mom, I was like, I learned something super exciting about myself. And I told her I was gay. And my mom was like, nope.
Oh,
you're
my
not
gosh.
Gay. Like, that was it. Like, it was a final statement on the whole thing. She was like, you're not gay. And then I didn't, like, I was a good kid. So I never got in trouble. And my mom's like, quick, abrupt no, told me, like, this is something that if I press it, I'm in trouble. So that's when I learned, like, be gay with my friends, don't be gay. Like, learn to compartmentalize. Be gay with some people, don't be gay with other people. And so that was, like, most of my—
It's like, it is hitting me in the stomach right now, and it's just so brutal.
But that is also why I feel like I identify so strongly with Spider-Man, because he learned how to separate being Spider-Man and being Peter Parker. So that was my childhood, was like, gay as Spider-Man, straight as Peter Parker. I will just hide that from all of these people, and that'll be my life.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. And so I did that, but then, like, jump cut to, I'm in my 20s, and my mom was at my apartment, and another good friend of mine named Stacy, she made me all of these mix CDs, which, again, this is like almost 10 years ago now. So mix CDs were still a thing. Calm down.
Do you know what they are? I'm just checking.
AB is like flipping through an encyclopedia.
CDs, right?
Yeah. So Stacy made me all these CDs called GBF Mix. And GBF stands for Gay Best Friend. Because I was like her GBF, which I have a whole diatribe on how that's like
Not cool.
Yeah. But anyway, so Stacy loved me because I was gay more than anything. And so she made me all these CDs, and it was all just like super gay music. Like, I guess half the songs I would say I like, and the other half I'm like, I've never seen Music Man. I don't know what it's about, but there's songs from it.
Grip, Stacy.
So my mom saw those CDs in my bathroom because I had a CD player in my bathroom so I could listen to music in the shower. And then she was like, "What? All the CDs say GBF mix. What does GBF mean?" And I just casually was like, "Oh, it means gay best friend. My friend Stacy made them for me." And mom was like, "Is Stacy gay?" And I was like, "No, I am." And then in that moment, we both realized we hadn't talked about it since I was 8 years old. Like literally 15 years had passed.
Wow.
I had become this like fully fledged adult where literally everyone in my life knew I was gay. And like my mom had only heard me say it once in my whole life. So we had this like weird moment of like, she was like, "You're gay? I didn't know you were gay." And I was like, you kind of did. And then we like hugged for a really long time, which was super beautiful. And then she just like had to leave because I think it was too much for her.
Yeah.
And then she came around. But like,
wow.
That was my like weird bookending journey of coming out to my mom.
Ooh, I like that you just like spit it out. And it was like that door opened and you were like, "I'm just going to. Yeah. Here it comes.
Yeah.
Here comes just to take it."
Also, if you're out to everyone in your life except for, because my mom and I hang out, we would hang out all the time.
Yeah.
Like even to this day, if texting counts as talking, I talk to my mom every day of my life.
Right.
Just like even a quick casual, because also she has an iPhone and I know how to use iPhones. So she asks me iPhone questions all the time. So like just little texts.
Again, mazel.
Yeah. But so she texts me little like things all the time. But I guess I didn't realize how, like, the impact keeping that separate mm-hmm. from my mom really had on her.
Yeah.
And the impact it had on me also. But so now, like, it's completely out in the open. And that's also why I was like, I need to start doing, like, this needs to be more. Like, I sort of just came out to my mom, even though some of my friends have just known I was gay our entire lives.
Right.
So I need to get people coming out to people on stage. And then the show that I do sort of came from that. And I was like, this needs to be bigger. And then it's just followed me wherever I've lived.
Have you ever had someone actually like come out to their parents at the show?
No, I have not. Okay. That would be really fun for someone to be like, "Ooh. I want you to come to this show I'm in."
Right.
Yeah. That would be really
have a surprise.
I feel like that would have been my choice.
They'd have to go up first.
It's safer.
Or else the
yeah.
jig would be up. But
can you imagine though being come out to by someone on stage?
Well, I mean, at least you'd have the ability to, like, walk away if you wanted.
Sneak out in the dark. Yeah. I guess that makes sense.
I kind of, a little bit, came out on stage just in terms of being kind of genderqueer or mm-hmm. two-spirited because I didn't really tell my parents because I kind of figured that they would just figure it out. Like, I felt like if I were to take a big step at one point and ever want to like transition or something, I would feel the need to tell them, but there's not a need to tell them that I'm just being who I am. They already know that. They've seen me right. be like that. But I did invite them to a show. I was like, "Come on out," because I have a whole bit about how I'm too lazy to transition and like I don't have time to go to Build a Dick workshop. And it's like this whole thing I do. And I just had them come to the show and I was like, "Did you like it?" And they didn't really say anything about it, but that's – they kind of – after that started asking me a couple questions and stuff. I was like, I think that's kind of a good – I mean, I didn't blindside them with it, but that's kind of a good way to introduce it with, like, humor and – you know what I mean?
Right.
And in the situation where everyone's reacting in a really positive way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, totally. That's also good because then it gives them – the ability to see an audience of people accepting you.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Because, like, there's the worry. I feel like a lot of times parents worry, and this is what I get from my mom, is that, like, her worry about me being gay wasn't that she wouldn't love a gay person. It was just, like, my mom was born in the 50s and raised in, like, a small town in the Midwest. Like, she assumed if I was gay that would negatively affect my life and that every aspect of my life would be a struggle.
Right.
I think she didn't realize, like, I'm of a generation that, like, gay is so casually accepted.
Right.
Gay is, like, having brown hair, like some of us do and some of us don't.
Yeah, I feel like my parents have that same, like, just, "We just don't want life to be hard for you.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I guess is a nice story they tell themselves of how to be good parents.
Right, I think it's not nothing. I think there's truth to that and fear. It's fear-based, but a lot of it tends to also be what your parents have in mind for you.
Oh, absolutely.
And that is so much stronger, I think, than we can ever fully grasp.
Yeah, I totally agree. Because even little things like my mom will watch RuPaul's Drag Race and then text me and be like, "Are you a drag queen?" And I'll be like, I'm not, but thanks. And then I'll like jokingly send my mom a picture of me with nail polish on, like as a joke. And she'll be like, are you a drag queen? I'm like, no, mom, I'm just teasing you.
Yeah. Oh
my gosh. Or when she heard about the show Transparent, she was like, are you trans? And I was like, no, mom, I'm not trans. But it's okay. Like,
I'm glad
that she's asking instead of freaking out, instead of texting me being like, don't be trans, because like that would be weird and I'm not eight anymore. But like she just asked me, and then every single friend of mine she meets, she's like, is he gay? Are you guys dating? I'm like,
no.
Just, they'll know. You'll know right away. Don't worry. But so my mom just like sort of repeats the behavior of when I was a kid and telling me I'm not gay with any aspect of something that's a little too like sexuality or gender progressive for her.
Wow. But at least that pathway is open and she can ask, you know, because that's huge. And a lot of people, you know, as silly as some of it may sound, I think, you know, good for her for also just asking you.
Right.
Yeah.
And being open to whatever answer is going to come back.
Yeah. You know? I think it's a testament to like the love we have for each other that she feels so comfortable just straight up asking me, like you're saying, instead of like sitting around and worrying forever if I'm going to one day come home and like be dressed as Cher or something. I don't know what she like perceives.
New information is coming her way.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. In the intro, I was thinking to myself, I don't remember. There's people who we were like, oh, this person's gay, but they were not out. And it was more just rumor. No one I knew came out in high school, which seems so lame right now.
Yeah.
And Emily had a different experience because she was at a super progressive school. But I was thinking, just when you were talking about your family, my uncle, he's passed away, but he had Down syndrome and he was gay. And I remember being little and he would tell me about boys and who he liked. And I knew he was gay, you know, but it wasn't until actually quite recently where my dad's brother had said, it was like a year or so ago, he was like, yeah, well, Uncle Joe, you know Uncle Joey's gay. And I was like, that's so funny. I've never connected that, even though, because I was such a little kid when I processed it. I didn't even think two things about it. But then to have my dad say it later on in life, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
That's something that we never talked about, nor did I know my dad knew. Right. You know, because it's like, so it was just a revelation of fully saying something out loud with your family.
Having the conversation.
Having it is powerful. And, you know, I don't think my Uncle Joey suffered one way or the other because he just did him. But like, but, you know, it was kind of like, huh, interesting. I think we should take a break.
Oh, yes, let's.
And then let's come back. Well, I'd love to hear some more about some of the stories you've heard from, you know, that from your show or some ways maybe it's different now in 2016 than it was in 2008 when you started the show.
Totally.
Okay, great.
Be right back. OMFG! Welcome back. We are here with Jeffrey and AB. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Jeffrey.
Yes.
You've been doing this show since 2008.
Yes.
From Michigan to L.A.
Michigan to New York to L.A.
A lot of spicy places.
Yes. Yep.
Can you kind of give us a little bit of like maybe some of the outstanding stories that you can think of through the years?
Yeah, definitely. One of my favorite – I'll say my two favorite stories – and I mean no disrespect to anybody who's ever been on my show. I love all of you. All of your stories are perfect. But my two favorite stories, one, in 2011. Yeah, in 2011. It was my second to last show in Michigan. I had an 18-year-old on the show. And he just talked about never coming out. because he like had this, his whole thing that he talked about was this theory of like, I'm never going to come out. I just live my life out. And so AB hearing you talk about just like being the only lesbian in Boston or like a small town near Boston is just great because that was his thing. And he was like, he knew he was gay when he was a kid. So he like started dressing like Madonna for Halloween when he was 10 years old and just like wanted to wear heels and just like lived his life super gay to the point where he doesn't remember a time not being gay. Yeah, just like not being totally out. And so hearing that story just made me so happy because like hearing some of the other stories in my coming out story and just other people's coming out stories in general, like there are people who don't come out until they're like 80 years old.
Yeah, that's real crazy.
And so like his story of not only just being out, but his parents being totally supportive, his friends, like he made friends with people as a child who were okay with gay people because he was just a super gay kid. Like that was so thrilling to me.
Yeah.
And then 2 years ago in New York, my other favorite story, a comedian named Jeff Lawrence. He's a comedian in New York. He's been doing comedy there for years. He came out when he was a teenager in the 60s in like Arkansas or something like that. And his parents were not acceptive. So when he was 18, he moved to New York and he talked about one of the first newspaper headlines he read when he got to New York as an 18-year-old was about AIDS. And then he just told like very deep stories about just like friends of his contracting HIV and just like living in the most progressive city in the country and how like the world was not ready to accept gay people and how AIDS was kept a secret by the US government, all this stuff. And he brought an issue of Out Magazine, which is just a, it's a gay periodical. It's, I think it's monthly. It's a cool magazine that still runs. But he brought an issue of Out Magazine that he had gotten in the mail because he had a subscription to Out Magazine. And it was in an opaque envelope because that's the way it comes in the mail, because that's the way it's always come in the mail. Because if your mailman knew you were gay, it could ruin your life.
Wow.
So it comes in an opaque envelope the same way that like, I assume pornography comes in.
I was going to ask that actually. And then I was kind of like, you know what? I bet it doesn't. I bet it comes.
Well, it does.
Do people get pornography in the mail?
I don't really get
anymore?
Pornography in the mail, but I just wanted to be an authority on it. I know that, and again, this isn't from personal experience, but I think sex, like if you order from some sort of like.
If you Uber sex over to you,
like if you order, you know, from whatchamacallit, like adamandeve.com, let's say, I believe it comes in like a brown wrapping of some sort.
Like this toys is
a
personal and stuff.
Story. This isn't a personal story. Although if it was, God bless. It just happens not to be. But I believe it does come in some brown wrappings.
But it's funny because Out Magazine's not pornography.
Of course.
No.
It's just like, it's like Time Magazine for gay people, basically. And so, but the fact that it came in an opaque envelope because it was life-ruining for someone to know you were a homosexual. So I love those two stories because they're both stories of people who came out younger and two dramatically different experiences.
Right.
So like Jeff, being older, can remember like what the 80s and the 90s and the early 2000s were like and how different then was versus now. And then Tim, who came out as a kid and just was a super gay kid and was accepted. He was born in the 90s, so can only really talk about what that was like.
Right.
It's just so cool for me to hear those two stories because I find that younger and younger people's coming out stories are like, a lot of them don't want to tell coming out stories because they're like, well, it's just boring. Like I said, I was gay and my parents were like, all right. And that was it.
Which is amazing.
And they don't realize how much I love that because I remember telling my mom I was gay and her saying no. Like that to me is such a different thing. Like be excited about that. And you don't have to make a big deal out of it. Like sure, just a casual part of your life.
I think the other thing now too is that it's not so much older people, but kids are more accepting. Like kids are way more accepting. My little cousin, she lives in the same town that I grew up in, and she's 17, and she has like trans friends. She has like tons of lesbian friends. She's like a popular girl. She's like on the dance team. She's really beautiful, and she's like hangs out with all these like lesbians and gay people. And I'm like, if you did that in, I mean, I'm only 24 years old. So,
I was just gonna ask how old are you?
I'm 24 years old. So I graduated high school in 2010, and it was not a okay to be gay in that in that time. Oh, so, I mean, even now, sometimes people will say this. I'll be like, well, you were older, so it must have been. It's like, no, it wasn't. It actually, people don't realize this, but it really wasn't until a couple years ago that all of a sudden it just drastically changed, you know?
Why do you think?
I think it started changing because I think that there's – we have these parents, like we've all just attested to the fact that our parents grew up in a time where it's like, oh my God, if you're gay, you're going to have a hard life. It's going to be really challenging. And I mean, my parents were, they love gay people. They're very accepting. But of course, their first thought is, oh my God, they're going to go through this stuff. And I think that's a valid concern. I mean, you have stuff like the Pulse tragedy that's still happening, you know.
Yeah, I still
get yelled at. I have hate crimes happen to me all the time.
Really?
Like, it's not – people think that now it's, like, changed. Like, it's totally fine. You know, everyone, you know, knew.
What kind of hate crimes would you
– people yell at me stuff all the time. Yeah. Like, I've gone into stores and have people, like, not – like, I've gone into a Subway before and had somebody not make me a sandwich because I'm gay. Ooh. Like, I have people, like, yell, like, fag to me on the street, like, in West Hollywood and stuff. Like, it's not, like, especially when you look – I know that you can't see what I look like through a podcast, but, you know, I'm like a – I call myself a large Nordic homo. You know, I'm, like, 6 foot. I'm, like, a big, you know
– very attractive.
Thank you. But I'm, like, a Viking. You know, I'm a big kid and I definitely look a lot like a guy and a girl. I'm a bit of both. And if people don't know what to do with it, they panic.
Right.
Like, they'll just, you know, project things. And I mean, when I was growing up and I went to boarding school for a little bit before I went back home, and I used to get beat up for being gay. They didn't even let me change in the same locker room as them on my lacrosse team. Like, they didn't want me to be in there. And I hadn't even really told anyone.
And these were girls?
Yeah, girls.
Oh my God.
And they'd beat me up. Like, they didn't like it. And I remember I had my this really great advisor. Everyone had an advisor at school, and I had the most terrific advisor. She was so wonderful, and her sister was a lesbian, and she was the first person. I remember I had gotten kicked out of the locker room that day. She was the assistant coach on the lacrosse team, and I went to her. I was like, I don't know what to do, and she just sat there, and she was like the first person to sit with me and be like, it's okay. It's just this small community, but in the real big world, it's okay. And I think that's something that people need to remember, that every place isn't like LA where it's super accepting, and every place isn't like a small town where it's super not accepting, you know? I feel like overall in this country, like, we are progressing. And I think what matters is what the children and the young people are starting to think about gay people, because those are the ones that are going to lead our country and tell their kids about this or that. So I just feel like it's a slow evolving, you know, thing that's slowly becoming better, you know?
Well, we had on and I think you're totally right. It's like there's movement, it's going forward. It just takes time, but we're in a better place. Like, the fact that there may be – your show may be completely obsolete at some point,
which
would
is
be a beautiful thing, right?
Because
people wouldn't be coming out.
I can't wait for that day.
Same here.
No one has to come out. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We had on Morgan Walsh, who is a actress and a comic, and she has young kids, and one – of her children is gender creative, and we got to kind of learn and hear.
I love that. You teach me all these cool terms. I'm going to be gender creative because queer is like, you know, but gender creative, that's I'm gender unique is what I am.
Well, you know, it seems like it's a term for kids who are figuring it out.
Yeah.
Not needing to, and parents have sort of language and a support group to kind of know how to move forward with a child who has gender, it's fluid, and they're not locking anything in right now. They're exploring.
When you were saying earlier, you know, you've heard stories about like kids dressing up, you know, as the opposite sex and getting whatever. It's like, it's the supportive way to parent this situation.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I mean, if you look at our society, it's like this has always bothered me my whole life, but it's like you still go to McDonald's and ask for a Happy Meal and they'll ask, is it for a boy or a girl?
Oh,
because their toy is going to depend on your gender.
Yeah.
You know, if you are announcing the birth of your child, you do pink balloons for a girl and blue balloons for a boy. Right. So at a very young age, we're installing in their minds that if you're a boy, you have to like these colors, these toys and these things. And if you're a girl, you have to like these colors and these toys and these things. And it's not that way at all. And we're slowly breaking down these stereotypes and these things our society has put into us. But I think that starts with conversations by letting your children dress how they want or feel they feel. Like if your kid is born a girl but she's dressing like a guy, it doesn't make her a trans kid. Everyone says, oh, Angelina Jolie's got a trans child. It's like, because her child likes to dress in suits like that, you're going to tell the child what they feel. Like people have a right to experiment with how they feel their gender is represented.
Right. Right. And I'm going to actually come out right now about something.
I'm excited.
I am too. Now I'm sweating.
I haven't said this on the podcast, but I am pregnant.
Are you serious?
Yes! Oh, congratulations.
Wow. Congratulations.
And thank you so much. But it has been actually, you know, just from doing this work and all the things that we've learned.
I know
I didn't
that's
even want to know the gender.
Yeah. Wait, was that why you were sweating? Was that the truth?
Maybe. Yeah. Just pregnant.
Wow.
No, but I didn't even want to find out because I was like, I feel like it's way too, it's too over-celebrated before the child is born. Like, and I keep saying to my husband, I'm like, we're having a girl or whatever she wants to be. You know, like I keep trying to practice those things because it's just like, I don't care at all. So, you know, we're not like decorating the nursery. Like, you know, my mom called me, I want to make a blanket. What colors? I don't care. Pick your favorites. You know, like.
Yeah.
It's just this weird kind of thing where it falls kind of everyone's like.
Yeah.
Blasting pink at you.
Right, weird. Absolutely. Well, because Deanna, you were talking earlier about how.
But can we just take a moment for a second?
That was, first of all, that was so cute. That was, you'd be the greatest mom. That was the sweetest.
So beautiful.
Ever. That was so beautiful.
So happy for you. I have this information, but literally hearing it, and this, our poor engineer has now dealt with me two shows in a row falling the fuck apart. But hearing that was just such a thrill. Just hearing that you're pregnant, and I already have the information, and it was so excited for you. I'm glad I could be here
in the supportive room with you guys.
Well, yeah. Sure. Well, congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you.
But you were saying, Jeffrey. Oh, yeah. I just needed to take a moment and just
enjoy that. Seriously, congratulations.
Yeah, that's so exciting. It's really great.
I have an announcement. I, too, am pregnant.
Oh.
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, I was like, yeah.
No, I'm still a butch lesbian.
Oh, okay.
Fun fact, I, too, am not pregnant.
Oh, my God. Congratulations.
Yeah, no one on this side is pregnant.
Okay.
But it's just water weight. Calm down. But, Deanna, you said earlier about how a lot of times parents just struggle with their kids' sexuality because parents have just plans for, they just like have expectations of, this is what I assume my kid's life will be like. And then telling your parents you're gay sort of changes all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the reasons why I think coming out is still currently important, just because like Emily, you were just talking about like, you don't want to blast the nursery with pink because like, what if your kid doesn't like pink? Like, that's fine. And I have, like, some of my best friends, they have a son. His name is Jack. He's 8, and he's amazing. And both of his parents have said, and they're in Michigan. They're in Flint, Michigan, too, which is, like, very
– bad water.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, their water's good. Their water's okay, good. They've had it tested. Yeah, right. Good for them. But so his parents have both said, like – blah, blah, blah. Jack says he has a girlfriend, but when he's older, if he has a boyfriend, that's fine. Like, they're so casually cool about it, which is great. And I remember I had a job in New York. I worked in a retail store, and two of the managers who worked there, much older, both of them had just recently had daughters. And they were talking about having their daughters meet each other and have like a play date. And then one of them was like, maybe they'll like grow up and be best friends. And then I just casually was like, maybe they'll grow up and fall in love. And then they were like, they can't do that. They're both girls. And then I was like,
But they can.
And I was like, but so you're saying if your daughter fell in love with a girl, that'd be bad? And then both of them like freaked out and were like, oh my gosh, you're right. Like that's
like they weren't even thinking. They just said it.
They just casually were like, they can't fall in love with their girls. Like they weren't saying like, I won't allow my daughter to marry a girl. They just so casually in their mind were like, I had a daughter, she one day will have a husband. So I just said like, maybe they marry each other. And it was just so funny to watch these two new dads be like, oh my gosh, my daughter can literally be anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Like I can't push onto her. It was such a fun like moment to just see new dads have.
Right.
It was very exciting.
Yeah, that's hilarious. You can't underestimate the vision parents have, not just for their children, but for themselves. Mm-hmm. How they see themselves at a wedding where they're walking so-and-so down the aisle and the man is up there or whatever it is. Yeah. Like they have an idea and it, a lot of it has to do with with how their friends are going to perceive them or how
I hate to gender stereotype here, but I do often feel that a lot of the times it's the dads that have a very hard time with guys or girls, like their daughters or sons being gay, because they really do have this vision of, I'm going to walk my daughter down the aisle or I'm going to do this with my son. And all of a sudden in their head, it's like, my son's not going to play football or something. It's like, you can't be gay and play football. It's like, we're putting these stereotypes back on. Like, same thing with gender stuff. It's like, you're putting them on gay people. Like, well, if he's gay, he's going to want to be a hairstylist, like you were saying, you know?
Or like, which I don't. Just for the record, no
and
desire.
And look, if you do, that is okay.
Yeah,
I want you to know that.
Thank you. That's the acceptance I needed. I'm off to Aveda. Just kidding.
But yeah, I just think it's like, it's definitely like a, you know, a dad thing. Like my dad, you know, obviously he wasn't like, oh my God, you're gay. Like, yes. Right. But, you know, and it took some while. Like it took, you know, like a little bit of while. You know, I think now he's gotten to a point where it's like, I'll get called sir while he's around and stuff. And that's hard for him. But I think what he cares about most, like I have this beautiful memory with him where I was out with his friends. And he's a very likable guy. Everyone in town loves him. He's, you know, he's an awesome guy. So I'm out with his friends at this cool place. And, you know, I look like a guy, right? And I'd just gotten called sir earlier that night. And I couldn't tell in my head if I like had embarrassed him or what, you know? And his friends were looking at me and they just all of a sudden just brought me in with just so much love, just started like, you know, just being so kind, saying how beautiful I am, all these really nice things. And my dad turned to me and he's like, I just want you to know that that's what I'm most proud of about you, is just like how you, you know, people love you for you. He's like, it doesn't matter how you look. It doesn't matter who you love. Like, it matters if you're kind and if you're a good person. And I think that all parents finally, you know, get over that thing once they get comfortable with their child being gay or a different gender than they were born. I think that they start to get comfortable and be like, well, it doesn't matter because they're a good kid. Like
they're
getting good grades. They're nice to people. Like when I go out, people are like, oh, I love your kid. You know, like that's what matters. Like I'd rather have a gay, nice kid than a straight asshole, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'd also just rather have a gay straight kid.
I would rather
no disrespect.
I'm going to be honest. I'd rather have a gay kid.
Yeah, I mean, not for nothing, me too. And we have loved having you here. I mean, this is
thank you.
This has been great.
Really, really good.
It's been a lot of fun. Thank you guys so much for having us.
Wonderful. Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Loved it. So where can we find you? We'll start with Jeffrey Mark Klein.
You can find me on Twitter at Jeffrey, am I right? All one word, no spaces. I'll spell it out. And then you can also find me, I have a podcast called Weddings Hate Women.
Which we didn't really have time to get into,
but we would love to
march ourselves over there. And
absolutely. It's on iTunes. You can also find it on the Zeitgeist website. It's, that's where you can find me.
Awesome. And AB?
You can find me on Instagram, Funny Lesbo, but just with a Z. The other Funny Lesbo is a weird porn thing, so don't go to that. Funny Lesbo with a Z.
It's opaque.
It's opaque. And then I have a Facebook page, AB Farrelly Comedy is my Facebook, and you can see all my shows and what I'm doing. So,
awesome.
Go check it out.
And happy coming out day, everybody.
Happy coming out
day. Happy National Coming Out
Day. Go be gay and wonderful. Be yourself.
Come out.
Have a baby, right, Emily? That's
yes.
Right. Tell that baby
have a gay
to
baby.
Come out.
Give birth to whatever you want.
Yes.
Woo! Emily.
Well, hi.
Hi with child.
Hi, child. those guys were great.
They were that was a very special OMFG episode.
Yeah. I really hope that, you know, it does seem like it is the trend that more people are going to have less dramatic coming out stories as the days go on. And I think that's great. But I do love the idea of the show and just letting people kind of take the stage and tell those probably not entirely easy stories.
Yeah. No, I think it's wonderful. And I just enjoyed that conversation so much.
Mm-hmm.
And Emily, I'm just so excited for you and our newest listener.
Well, I should put the headphones on.
Yeah. We're cooking up right now.
Yep. She feels like I ate too many sandwiches right now, but.
Well, I will say she's
soon it won't be able, I won't be able to like wear a blousy shirt and cover it. So I felt like it's like the days are numbered. I had to come out.
That was awesome. And you look like there, unless you pull that blousy shirt against you, there's no other sign that there's anything happening, which is
one thing I thought was really funny. Was like, you know, you asked the question in the beginning and I'm like, oh, I grew up in this wonderland. And then he's like, I'm from Michigan. It was horrible. I was like, oh, okay.
But when you hear that, does that make sense to you?
It does. I mean, it does and it doesn't in another way. Like, yes, for sure. But also, no. You know what I mean? It just wasn't my
experience.
Mm-hmm. Like 5 miles away or 10 miles away.
Yeah.
It's odd, but, you know, that's I know I grew up in a special bubble.
In a special private school bubble?
Private school bubble in, like, a, you know, it's – I grew up in the gay community.
Right.
You know, so it's kind of, you know, just a little different. Although Ann Arbor is pretty progressive, so I'm wondering how far outside Ann Arbor he really was.
Right. Did you guys drink Soylent in that school?
I'm
just
not.
Wondering.
Definitely not. That's some hippie shit.
Well, we did it. What a happy coming out day. Thank you guys for listening.
Please don't stay away from whatever kombucha you're drinking. I am Emily Foster at Frida Foster.
I'm Deanna Chang at Deanna Raphael.
And we are OMFG at OMFG Pod. Hit us up. Oh, and if you want to send us an email, why don't you take to your computer and go to omfgdeannaemily@gmail.com.
Tell us things.
Send us a note.
We love that.
We might even read it on the air. It's not a promise.
But it's a possibility.
We're going to dangle it like a carrot to see who will write us. Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
If you love podcasts, and you probably do if you're listening to this, you don't want to miss Now Hear This. You'll be able to see more than 30 great podcasts live on 6 stages. Check out some of the best shows in the podcast universe, including WTF with Marc Maron, Comedy Bang Bang, Dinner Party Download, Criminal. It all happens at Now Hear This, October 28th through the 30th in Anaheim, California, just a hop, skip, and a jump from LA. Don't miss it. Go to NowHearThisFest.com to buy your tickets now.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Adam Sachs, and Chris Bannon. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.